Yeah. I told them Friday night, you were like, oh, we saw ourselves on the video. That was y'all's team at the end. James was like, they're giving me gold right now. He was right behind y'all with that video camera. But I told them at the end Friday night, I said, when somebody says, how was your weekend? You go, healed and forgiven. Look where my chains are now. That's what you tell them. We had a great time. We had an amazing team. I want to give some honor this morning before I start. The worship leader this weekend was Alyssa Harris, who was here with us. She did an amazing job. Her brother Caleb was on the drums all weekend, and I don't know that all of you know, those are my niece and nephew. We're very excited to have them here. So proud of them. They actually, their family helped start Genesis Metro way back when. Then God called them to Arkansas, but it's a cool full circle moment to have them back. Also, we had several breakout speakers this year that killed it. Killed it. I think I heard people quoting them more than anything else. We had Haley Birkelback was there. You saw her on the video. Mary and Martha, as they called themselves, Cherie Mears and Lisa Little. They did amazing. And then Diana Galata led our compliment circle, and a lot of you guys had some breakthroughs out there. It was just so, so good. And of course, our team was there. Can we give it up for the team? They did all the work. All I did was speak. They did amazing. And of course, we can't forget to mention a little detail. On Friday night, the first time we've ever done this at retreat, it was Tim's idea, Pastor Tim. He normally is up here if you're visiting with us today. I'm his wife. I'm his sidekick. He's normally here, but he's let me speak today. But it was Tim's idea. He just felt like we needed to do it, and he kept telling me, moving up to it. And I was like, I don't know. And thank goodness I listened to him, because we had 31 women get baptized Friday night. 31. Beyond all expectation, and we had a great time celebrating with them, and just, you know, we were seeing God work all, like crazy. So our team got there on Tuesday before everyone arrived, and we started setting up, and we had, you know, a million things to do, and we had a great time. We were laughing and joking and stayed up late Tuesday night, and I still had sermon prep to do, so they all went to bed. I had so much caffeine, I wasn't tired, and normally me, I'm in the bed by like 10, 9:30, 10. I had so much, it's like 1 o'clock in the morning, and I'm like, I'm wide awake. I'm going to go down and work. Well, you have to find the Wi-Fi there. If your person was there and you couldn't get a hold of them, it's not because they were like ghosting you. They just didn't get your message. I promise you. It was like you'd randomly walk through a field and it was like everything would dump through. And then as soon as you took 5 steps, forget it. There's no way you're answering that. So I'm walking around downstairs trying to find service. So we were staying. The worship center and where we eat is all one big building, and then our leadership team stays on top. There's a loft up there, and we stay up there. So I thought, maybe they'll have it downstairs. So I go downstairs, and I find a spot in the worship center that I can sit and work, and it's quiet, of course. Well, it's this great big room. The lights are all on. I don't know why they were on. I guess we left them on, but I don't even know how to turn them on or off. I have no idea. I'm like, thank goodness they're on. But I did have to walk outside to get back in that building. So I did that. It was dark, whatever. You get in, and then you get in there. All the lights are on. And you know, you can hear noises. Anybody, like all the creaks and stuff. There's like acorns falling on the ceiling. And I'm like, what's that? I mean, I'm a scaredy cat. I don't know if you know that about me. I do not like the dark, and I don't like to be alone. All those things, everything scares me for no reason. Nothing's really traumatic ever happened to me to condition me that way. I just was born that way. Anybody else? Am I the only one? Chloe's got me right there. She's like, me too. Me too. So I'm in there and I'm working, and I'm, you know, it's 2:30, 2:45 rolls around, and I'm like, the responsible thing to do is I need to go to bed. This is ridiculous. I still have to get up at the same time. So I'm like, I'm going to go to bed. Go out to try to get out, because I have to go out to get back in to our door, and I'm locked in, which is weird. I was like, oh, super secure here because all the doors locked down electrically, in case you didn't know, at like 1. I remember that. And I remember them telling me that in a meeting on Monday. And when they gave me key fobs that would open all the doors, they're in my room. I don't have them with me, of course. So I'm like, well, I guess I'm going to have to sleep in here. I don't know where I'm going to sleep. I mean, hard plastic chairs, like the ones you people in the back are sitting in. Not comfortable. There is one couch in the back, like by the stage, where the band can chill. Right? A little green room area. So I was like, well, I can sleep on the couch. Start looking around. I'm standing where we set up our little pop-up shop out there. I grab a few towels out of the baptism bin because we brought those just in case we needed them. We needed all of them, didn't we? All 31. We ended up bringing 31 towels. I'm like, literally, somebody said, is it too late? And they were like, we have one towel left. After that, it's too late. That's all you got. I grab some baptism towels. I'm like, I guess I'm buying a blanket from the pop-up shop. I grab that, I unwrap it, and I go to the couch. I'm like, I'm just going to roll these towels up and go to sleep. You know, it'll be fine. I'll just, surely they're going to unlock in the morning. I'll just go up there. No big deal. And if you know me, I can sleep anywhere. You're like, how could you sleep with all the lights on? I just can. No problem. I just can't. I just fall asleep. So I'm laying there and I'm hearing the noises and I'm a little bit freaked out. Now I'm not like studying anymore. Now I'm like the little 10-year-old who can't sleep because the monster's right around the curtain, right? I mean, for real. And so I'm hearing all these noises and I'm like, just go to sleep, just go to sleep, just go to sleep. Will myself to sleep. And I finally get to sleep. And you know what happens in the middle of the night? The fire alarm goes off. Literally the loudest alarm I have ever, all of my team, was it the loudest thing you ever heard in your life, right? In the dead of night. And it is like KGB level, like sirens, right? And I'm like, all of a sudden, I am scared out of my mind. I'm like, it's just, you know, you're just, of what? The fire? It wasn't like impending. It wasn't right there. I was terrified. And then I thought, my team can't find me. They've pulled the alarm to find me. Oh, no. And now I have to, like, they're looking for me. I can't call them. There's no service. And I'm like, but I have to be brave enough to gather my things together and run across this giant worship center to get to them. But I don't want to. What I did, I was like, if there's a fire, let me get my stuff. I get my stuff. I run across to where I need to get out. And I'm like, please let the door be open because the fire alarm surely is going to unlock the doors. It did. It did. That all worked well. I bust through. I'm running outside, back inside, terrified, scared of nothing. I don't know. And I run up the stairs and I'm like, I'm completely panicked. And I come around the upstairs and they're all, and Haley's there. She's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I don't know. And then I'm like, everybody's there. I'm like, oh, just checking on you guys. Just make sure there's a fire alarm. We need to get on out. I'm cool. They don't know that I haven't even been in my bed. They don't even know that I was freaking out. So that's not even really the story, but that's how it happened. I'm not exaggerating. So we get outside. We start trying to find a spot to call like the guys in charge, right? We're like, hey, there's a fire alarm going off down here. You know, somebody's like, well, you know, I'm sure the fire department's on their way because in Frisco, the fire alarm signals the fire department to come and rescue you. And Holly Jackson astutely points out, they ain't no fire department out here. We are in the middle of volunteer fire department country. Joe and Bob are asleep. We're going to figure this out before they get here. And we're like, duly noted, Holly, you're right. She's like, Station 6 is not coming. No, they're not. Thank God for Holly. She just made us laugh all weekend. Whew. So I'm like, what are we going to do? I mean, and there's a couple of us that weren't very happy. You know, you get woken up at 4 a.m. like that. You're like, this is not funny. And Holly is not funny. So everybody can just stop talking. Women and our personalities, we're all the same. I get it. So I'm like, all right. The guys that need to fix this are 20 minutes away, and the fire department is not coming. I'm gonna figure this out. Let me find the breaker. Breaker, the breaker box. I'll just turn the breaker box off to the alarm, right? Nobody's shaking their head. Is there anybody that's like, that's a good idea? I just really thought, I was like, I'll find the breaker box. And then I'm like, are you impressed with my knowledge of a breaker box? No one was. So Haley and Katie and I go in and we're like, we can find the breaker box. We've talked to the guys in charge. I'm like, where's the breaker box? I'm going to find it. They're in the kitchen, da, da, da. They're on their way, but you know, they're not there yet. So we find these breaker box panels. There's a bunch of them, obviously way bigger than the one at my house, clearly, because we're at a facility. And at the bottom of one of them is this like, this separate one. It's not with all the other gray and black ones. It's separate and it's big and it's white and red and it says FD on it. I'm like, fire department, it's red. We'll just turn it off and the sirens will go off. And I'm like, get your camera out in place in case something happens. So Haley's videoing it and I'm like, ready? One, two. And then I'm trying to flick. I couldn't even, it was so heavy. I had to be like, okay, two hands, push that thing over. Nothing happens. They're still going off. And there's a woman's voice like, emergency in the building. Emergency, please evacuate. Do not use the elevator. Am I right? Is that right? About that. Over and over with a siren attached. So finally I'm like, there's a fire panel somewhere. We got to find the fire panel. find the fire panel that's in this hallway. We get it. Okay. Also, the security guy has come to help us from the front gate. We have a security guy at night. Did you guys know all night? He wasn't very much help on the old, like, troubleshooting. I don't know if he possesses those skills. I don't know if that goes all the way to the top. You know what I'm saying? He's kind of following us around as we're like, breaker boxes. Where's the fire panel? And he's like, I don't know where the fire. I just see here the gate. I don't know where it is. So he's just standing watching. We get this. He's like, here's the panel, but it's got a screw in it. I'm like, well, let's unscrew it and open it. How about that? Anybody? So I did it with my hands. Like, there's no screwdriver. Open that thing up. And it's just like, I mean, I'm sure a lot of men in here are like, yes, we know what the inside of that looks. I've never seen this. It looks like just a mass of cords that are like held together with like copper wiring. It wasn't like you could just start like, I'm like, if I had some wire clippers, like I was diffusing a bomb, then I could handle this, but I didn't have any. So there was a few things that looked like they plugged in, these weird cords, and I just start pulling them until I can get one out. Well, I mean, I was testing to see if I could pull them out. Only one was loose enough that I could pull it out. And when I did, it stopped. And I was like, I'm here all week to solve problems, everyone. And they're like, oh, thank God. Go upstairs. Everybody goes back to bed. And now I'm like really wide awake at this point. So I'm like gathering all our food. I'm eating in my bed. Haley's like, I cannot believe that happened. We're laughing about this guy, this dumb security guy. Poor guy. I mean, Jesus loves him, but he was no help. And then I get on Marco Polo to tell the staff guys what has just happened and to brag on how smart I am. Please watch the video.
Okay, we're out. I figured out the fire alarm. I just want to say for the record.
Yes, you did.
I figured it out. I had the breaker box idea. I was like, we can just flip the breaker, okay? Kevin did not know. I was on the phone. Matthew did not know. He was on the phone. They're both on their way here. I think they're probably here by now. But every time I would go into the building, I couldn't keep them on the phone because I would lose service. So I had to keep going in. Me, Haley, and Katie were checking all of them. And then the little security guy that's at the front, he was no help.
Disgusting.
He was basically like having like Maddie or Mia helping us pretty much, or crew maybe. There was no help. He was a little bit like, my name's Daryl. This is my brother Daryl, my other brother Daryl. He's a little bit like that.
He was a lot of it like that.
He kind of was just following us around like a puppy. So, anyway, basically their entire fire alarm system was not hooked in to the system. So that thing was going off. Somehow I got tripped. We don't know what it is. There's no emergency. And I had a battery backup that I could not find in the little alarm panel. So I finally started just pulling cords until one of them came. It was just, I just kept checking to see if anything was loose. And I just randomly pulled out this big white cloth, thick, like, insert thing.
Stop it.
Here it goes again.
Oh, my gosh.
May I have your attention? It's going off again.
May I have your attention?
We're not leaving. I'm going to go tell everybody we're not leaving.
The next video is we're downstairs. I'm like, well, we came downstairs again. We had to leave. But I did tell the women. I think Lauren Nagel said that lady's voice rocked her to sleep. She just slept. Not Lauren Nagel. Lauren Williams. She just went right to sleep. All of our team stayed except Haley and Katie came down with me. And at that point, you know, it was something. It kept going off. And I came around the corner and the boss is there now. And he has now pulled a different cord. And he's like, sorry. You know, he doesn't know either. So they finally figured it out. It was some switch down somewhere. They came and tested everything Wednesday. It was all fine and fixed and wonderful. And the sprinklers worked the whole time. So no one was unsafe at any point. Don't be like, I'm never going back there. It's not safe. Well, you should feel good because a security guy is on it out there at the security shack. Okay? He's got it. Y'all remember that show? Hi, I'm Daryl. It's my brother Daryl and my other brother Daryl. If you're like below 35, maybe 40, you're like, no, I don't know what that is. Go look it up. It's on YouTube, I'm sure. So it kind of set it up for me, you know, as I was thinking about this. We had a fun time with that story. Everybody finally got to sleep. But, you know, it occurred to me that when we think we know what we're doing in life, we tend to just start pulling wires, right? And it might work for a little bit. your solution that you think you got might work for a little bit, but then it's going to come back. Did you notice that in the story? It's going to come back. And so today I want to talk to you about how you can know. You can have the answer that you need without having to just pull random wires. And it was funny as we were in there, you know, we kept saying, what tripped it off? What tripped it off? What tripped it off? We had no idea what made this thing go off. And I told him, I think it was all the premenopausal heat that was in the room up there. Maybe that's what set it off. We were upset too. So in life, when you don't know what you're doing, how do you get through it? You know, one of the things that we like at Sisterhood Retreat is I really have a heart that you're not going for a lot of fluff for the weekend, but you're going to hear from God, and you're going to dig a little deeper and get spiritual and really find some answers. And so I've been asking God for the last several weeks what we would talk about at retreat. And I always start that process early, and I'm sort of looking for things in life. Always be collecting. That's one of the things Tim and I say all the time. Always be collecting. God might be speaking through all kinds of measures. And so a few weeks ago, as it happened, it was about 3 weeks before retreat, we realized we had some foundation issues at home. Anybody ever had foundation issues at home? It's too painful to think about, so you don't even want to tell me. I know. It's expensive, and it's difficult. It's all the things. So we start noticing cracks in the house, and the door is sticking. We thought we attribute it to the heat, like swelling, and this is why the door won't stick. And then Tim was like, well, the cracks in the ceiling and the floor are kind of in the same place. I feel like this is related somehow, right? If you're in the Knolls of Frisco, you should get your foundation checked. This is the PSA for today. So we call our friend Jason Harbor. He comes out and checks our foundation. And then, you know, he's like, we're going to have to get this done. His crew comes out. They tell me that, you know, hey, like, you definitely have some issues. We're going to need to fix that like within a couple of days, which I was like, well, is it that urgent? Is the house going to fall in? But they needed to get it done. So he's like, we're going to come in. We'll be here for about 4 or 5 hours. We're going to fix it. Now, we're going to have to dig deep, because we know in West Frisco, if you didn't know, in West Frisco, the bedrock is pretty deep into the ground. Anybody, did you already know that? Oh, you're welcome for new information. All right. The bedrock's pretty deep. He's like, I'm pretty sure it's further than 25 feet in the ground. I was like, under the house? Like, are you going to the core? Like, what is the deal? But he's like, we gotta get to the bedrock in order to fix the house, in order to stabilize it and put everything in place that we need for the house to hold up for the next however many years that it's going to be here. We're going to have to stabilize the house. We got to get to bedrock to do that. Okay, great. They're coming on Tuesday. They get there like 7 o'clock in the morning. And they're like, we'll be done by noon at the latest. And then I'm like, well, do I need to be here? No, we'll be outside. And in my mind, I was like, well, do we need to stand in? Are we going to feel it like lifting as they stabilize it? Because the one other thing they told us was it was leaning 1 inch to the west, the whole house. I was like, wow, that doesn't sound good, right? That's why the door is sticking. So they come in and they get started. 12 o'clock rolls by. I'm here at work in the office, and I'm waiting for the call to run home and give them the check and all that and inspect the work. No, I wasn't inspecting the work. I'm waiting. 1, 2, 3, 4. I finally get home from the office at like 5 or 5:30. They're still working. And I'm like, everything all right? He's like, yeah, we're good. It's a hot day, like 92, 93, you know, great Texas weather at the end of September when you question why you live here, anybody? Like last Sunday it was 90, and then it was like 50 the next morning, a 40 degree drop. We wonder why we're all sick. Hot day, sweat, long. So he finally gets done about 6:37, maybe 12, 14 hours. I don't know how long they worked, a long time. And he comes to the door and he's like, hi, ma'am, we're done. Your house is stable. You found it. Your door is fixed. Everything's all the things, right? And he's like, now listen, we had to dig 37 feet into the ground to put 11 aluminum poles under your house to stabilize your house. I'm like, 37 feet. That was astonishing to me. 37 feet under the ground. That's where the rock was. So, okay. All right. Great. So here's the check. You write it. You sign your kidneys over, and your kids aren't going to college now, but it's fine. It's whatever. I got to have a house to live in. It's fine. So that night, as I was going to bed, Tim and I were talking about this. It occurred to me, this is the retreat thought this year. This is it. How do we get on the map? How do we go about life with an unstable foundation? That's what we're going to talk about. So then it took me to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 tells us a great story about two men in two different houses on two different foundations and how they went about building their houses and how that impacted their outcomes. One was a wise man, one was a foolish man. Both of them encountered storms along the way, but what their outcome was completely different. So I thought that's perfect for us to talk about, and I want you to go there with me today. We're going to first pull up and talk about the foolish guy. Luke chapter 6, verse 49, put that on the screen. And this is what it says, "The one who hears my words and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation." Another version says, "on shifting sand." So he built it on the sand. "And when the stream broke against it," and that is like a flood or a storm came, and other versions tell us, "that immediately the house fell and the ruin of the house was great." Or another version says it was completely destroyed. Completely destroyed. Full on destroyed. So here it is. Let's analyze this guy. The foolish doesn't listen. You see that? Does anybody know anybody that doesn't listen? Just think of the most maybe unself-aware person you know as an adult, or just an immature person, or like maybe one of your kids. If you're a teacher, you're like, I have 30 of those in my classroom. Thank you so much. And my own children at home, right? But think about the most unself-aware person. I just always think about Andy Bernard on The Office. He's just an unself-aware guy, isn't he? And I think, okay, here's this guy. So the foolish, it says that he comes to me, this guy who builds this house. He hears what I'm saying, but he doesn't do it. So I'm calling this one like, I heard you, but no. The answer's no. I heard you, but no. I'm good. And I wondered, what is that they don't listen? There's a great Proverbs in 18:2. Put it up there. This is a great verse. It says, a fool doesn't care to understand. They just want to show off their opinions. Does anybody know anyone like that? Like, you realize as you're talking to them, they're just waiting for you to stop talking so they can tell you their opinion. And they didn't hear anything you said. Does anybody else encounter these people? They don't care what you're saying. No. They just want to do it their way. And in this story, Jesus is saying, I was telling him where to build his house, but he liked the beach. He wanted to stay on the sand. So he's not listening, and he's building a house on nothing. He's building a house on nothing. The foolish doesn't listen. The foolish builds their house on nothing. And I love the version that tells me it's on sand. It's basically like nothing, because you would never tell. If anybody's in construction, you're like, yeah, no, like, no, no one would do that. Like, even the smartest dumb person, unwise person, wouldn't build on the sand. Like, you would just never do that. So the illustration is extreme. But it's like, I like the beach. I like the waves, the salty air, the sand in my toes. You see those, all those signs like sand in my toes, salty air, don't care, whatever, right? All those. Those people, they got their beach signs, they were lake life. Sandy toe selfies, like the toe selfie, you know? They like that. I like the sand. I like the beach. I'm a beach person. I like to have a tan. Whatever it is. You can't convince them that is a bad idea. You can't build a house on the sand. You're not, like, as soon as a storm comes, you're out. Forget a hurricane. Like, you're all dying. If the hurricane comes, you're not going to make it. And it's very clear that the house won't make it. The house is not going to last. So the foolish don't listen. They build on nothing, and they don't last. They don't last. Another great Proverbs is in there. I think I have it in there. It's 27:22. Oh, man, this one hurt. Even if you beat fools half to death, you still can't beat the foolishness out of them. Don't you love the Bible sometimes? You're like, yes, I know that person. Oh, yikes. Even if, just leave it up there. I giggled. I was like, whoa. You know, you're like, foolish verses. That one was like the third one down. I was like, oh, that's awesome. That needs to go on a sign at Hobby Lobby so I can hang it up somewhere. You can't beat it out of them. I mean, you try, but you sure can't. Even if you beat them half to death, you can't beat the foolishness. So we're talking about that kind of person. Like, well, whoever you had in mind, like, come on now, you know. Maybe you were like, well, I was definitely like that when I was younger. Is anybody like, yep, that mama tried to beat that out of me? She sure couldn't. It was only Jesus. Only Jesus. 1 Corinthians 3:11 tells us this. No one can lay a foundation other than the one that's already been laid, and that is Jesus Christ. So as I was reading through that, I've had that verse kind of tucked away all through this prep time. And it occurred to me last night, it's not that it's another choice, the sand. It's that there is no other choice. So you're trying to convince God that you've chosen a great place to build and you're good. And he's trying to tell you, you're building on nothing. It's like you're building on air. No one can lay a foundation other than the one that's already been laid, and that is Christ Jesus. So whether you're trying to build your foundation on, you know, what you want, what your goals are, what your job status is, your money, your house, your car, your social status, how many friends you have, how many likes you have, how many people follow you on social media, whatever it is, if you're trying to build your foundation where that's what you think about, those are your values, they kind of rule your decision making, you think about it, how good you are sports, or how many people want to invite you to parties, or whatever it is. If that's the thing that is consuming you and you're thinking about constantly, then you've built your house on that. If you make decisions by this thing, you've built yourself on that. Only it's really nothing. It's like air. So then our contrast is the wise person, the wise guy, the wise man. We're going to pull him up, and he's in verses 47 and 48. Here's the answer. Instead of pulling out all the wires foolishly like I did, you can find a way to do it. Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep, laid the foundation on the rock, Christ Jesus. And when a flood arose or the storms came that broke against the house and it could not shake it, because it had been well built. It was a sturdy house. This guy says, I heard you and I'm all in. I heard you and I'm all in. It's not a no, it's a yes. Here, yes. I definitely don't want to build on the sand like that idiot. Let me build on the rock that you're offering me. The wisdom digs deep. I love that phrase of digging deep. It's digging deep is, that's where it's at, you know, that's where it's at. I don't know if you've learned yet that I think many of us, including myself, I kind of analyzed this years ago when we moved to Frisco. You know, I started looking around. When we moved here, we moved away from everything we knew, and we kind of just had each other, right? And baby Jordan, he says, who always gets left out of the story. Tim's always like, we moved and started this church with four people. Jordan's like, five. I was a baby. You're welcome, by the way. But I remember analyzing, like, I don't really have any friends. I mean, I had friends, but, like, I didn't really have anybody that I, like, got deep with or, like, knew me or I could talk to about stuff that wasn't surface. Have you ever thought about that for a minute? Like, who do you have that you, it's easy to stay surface. We can all do that. You can be polite and you can, you know, say hi on Sunday morning, the Sunday morning, like, hi, how are you? Great. Uh-huh. When your week's been terrible and you're just like the Sunday face, right? I mean, you're not going to get in there and just be like, it's been horrible. I can't wait. But is there anybody you can't do that with? If you haven't been intentional about those relationships, they probably don't exist. And certainly if you haven't been intentional with God, it doesn't exist. So wisdom digs deep. And I thought about this with, you know, with our foundation issues at our house. And here was this crew that told me it was going to take 4 to 5 hours. They had three or four guys out there. They're working hard. They're sweating. You know, those shovels are in. I mean, you should have seen the sides of our house. It was, I should have taken a picture. I sure didn't. I took a picture of the cracks in the tile, which weren't super impressive, but it was a big deal to us. And I walk up and there's literally like earth, dirt is like, and it's like, it's compacted. It's all out. And I was like peering over to see how deep I could see. And it was just black, you know, and it's all out. And they are digging and digging. Obviously they start with shovels. They have tools that go deep. They're not like in there rooting out with their shovel. Just clarify in case anybody was thinking that. And it occurred to me, one of the things that God dropped on us Thursday night, because it was not something that was in my notes, that they had to dig through 36 layers of unusable foundation to get to the 37th that they could use. 36 layers of trash. 36 layers of nothing. Of course, I had to ask, you know, what are my 36 layers of things that need to be dug out of there? 36 layers covering up the only layer they could use. 36 layers of unusable space blocking the rock, the bedrock, the actual bedrock. And for me, I was asking a lot of questions, and I'm asking you questions today. What are those layers? If you could start to identify them, what are they? Is it yourself? Are you in the way? Is it your hopes and dreams, and you don't really know if you can give those up because maybe they're not God's hopes and dreams for you? Is it your status? Is it your security? Is it your insecurity? Where are those layers that cover up to prevent you from finding the bedrock? I'm going to tell you, it takes some sweat equity to get to that 37th layer. Maybe yours is, maybe you get to 10 and you're like, this is too hard. Listen, I've already dug through 9 or 10 layers. That is enough. I cannot do it anymore. Maybe you finally decide to go to counseling or therapy for the abuse that you suffered as a kid, or maybe in your marriage you need therapy, you need counseling. It's okay. You can admit that you do that. Tim and I, we've been to counseling here and there through the years, but maybe you get into that situation and like the first, second time you're like, hey, this guy is going way further than I signed up for. We will not be back. One and done. Is anybody else? This is too hard. Oh, no, 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 no. I tucked that stuff back way long ago. I don't need to uncover it. The only problem is it might be covering the only layer that God can use to finally give you some solid ground to stand on. And maybe the reason your whole life has felt unstable is because you're standing on nothing. Sand, air. You've built it on nothing. And if you're here today and you're hearing this and you're young, this is a blessing for you because you do have the answer early. If you're here today and you came to God later in life, we had a woman in her 70s get baptized Friday night. Where's she at? Where y'all at? 80? 80, 80? Miss Irene, yes, that's amazing. Oh. And you know what? She decided it wasn't too late to dig through the layers. She decided it was time to dig deep and put something in that foundation that could hold her up. That's what she decided. That's what it looks like. It is never too late to decide your foundation is unstable and it is time to wake up and stop pulling random wires to try to fix the problem, right? That siren's going to come on again. And I think if you sat down with Miss Irene, she would tell you she has come to God several times in her life and she just kept pulling wires until he finally gave her the answer. She's answered his call at 80 years old. That is amazing. Only our God can do that. So when we're looking at this story in Luke chapter 6 and we see we can be the no guy or we can be the all-in guy, I wonder which one we want to be. The outcome is different. The storms are the same. And in the storms that come in life, have you gotten to the place where you realize the storms do not stop? Like you think, okay, I'm just going to get through that. And then when I'm done with that, I'm going to rest. It's going to be fine. Has anybody said that to yourself? And then as soon as you get on the other side of that, it's like, here comes the rain again, right? Something else falls apart. Well, if I can get through this, then I'll do that. Listen, let me just get some stuff in order. And then I'll answer you, God, after that. It's going to be fine. Sometimes the storms hit you so rapidly that you can't breathe because the waves are hitting you in the face and you think like you think it's calming down and then you realize like it's just hitting you for more and more and more, like you're drowning, you're treading water. You're kicking, you're screaming, you proverbially begging someone to help you and no one hears you because you don't have any deep relationships. Nobody even recognizes you in the storm. You don't have anybody with you. Don't have Jesus. You didn't invite him in. He's not there. But the wise person who has realized there is no other foundation except for Christ, they walk outside on the driveway when the storms start coming and rolling into Texas. Everybody in the spring, who are the people that go outside instead of hunkering down? They're like, I got to see the sky. It's going to be amazing. Tim is always out there like, oh, it's starting to circle. Here it comes. Right? We walk out there, and some of us, anybody scared of storms, like deathly afraid? Oh, look, April Norris like me. You're like me. Ah. You are in the hallway with all the blankets and pillows and the like scanner and the battery operated air, water, bread. You're ready. You're like, in just in case. Everything is blown away, but my hallway is going to make it, and I'm going to be here. What if you could be the person that walks out on the driveway and confidently looks at the sky and says, I don't like storms. I don't really need storms. I don't need it. I don't need this in my life. But storms do what you got to do. Lightning, strike what you got to strike. Flood can just come and flood it all out. Flood what you got to flood, because when you get done, I'm still going to be standing here with my eyes on Jesus. It doesn't matter what you do, you're going to be standing. It doesn't matter what the storm does, you're going to be standing. It doesn't matter what everybody else's house does, you're going to be standing. It doesn't matter that it's the same storm you just went through last week and you thought that was over. Why are we repeating this? You're still going to be standing. And you're going to look around. You're going to realize you got neighbors that are in destruction. And because you have the gift of standing, because you chose a solid foundation, your job is to go help them start picking up the pieces. And all the debris and the tears and the pain of rebuilding. And now you can do it. Because you're standing. We had this map. We put it on stage because I wanted to point it out. This map this weekend was, you were to come and put your push pin where maybe you were born, and then how you got to Texas, basically. So some people, they've lived in like 7 places. So these are all over the place. And you know, our team, we thought of like America, but we had people from South Africa, Mexico. We had somebody from Guatemala, we had Hawaii. We had London, England, of course. GM London is here today. Woo! Alaska, Canada, we had all the things. And they would take their little pin. Turkey, I have a little lady from Turkey. Cool. I'm like, man, you grew up in a cooler place than we did. Put this pin in. You go through wherever it is. Minnesota. We got Minnesota down here. We got Oregon and Minnesota and down. We got all kinds of factors here. But it occurred to me to think, like, what if you started out way over here, but you found the rock early? You found Jesus early. You answered him early. Because everyone that ever lives has an option, a chance to respond to Jesus, right? Even the guy way out in nature in South Africa, they have a way to, God tells us he makes himself known to every man. So let's say you find that early and you come and then you move here, you got your rock, you bring that rock, and now you're the stable person right here, and you impact all those people here because they're like, what does she have that I don't have? And then God moves you over here, maybe somewhere, and then you bring that to this area where you're a rock, and everybody around you can see, what does she have that I don't have? And then God moves you down here, and you got that rock, and they wonder, what does she have that I don't have? And then you get to Texas, and you're impacting everyone here. See, it's all about taking that foundation with us so that we can impact the world around us. In order to be a world changer, we have to have something to offer that's different. We know the answer. The answer is the solid foundation. So when you're walking through the storms, because they're coming, The storms are coming. They do not stop. It's not a matter of if they're coming. It's a matter of when they drop out of the sky. They are coming, but you are the same because you have the same God going with you from place to place to place, and your feet are like boulders, like rocks. So you step in an area and they're not like soaking wet. Your feet aren't cold. They're not worn out. They're solid, and everyone around you can see that you have something that they don't have, and they know that they need it. The storms are coming. They will never stop. They will never stop. So our prayers almost need to change. Like, God, make it all stop. Just make it all calm down. I'm going to calm down. Well, that's not really reality. We live in a world full of storms. We have to know how to navigate the storms. Like, you're raising teenagers. You have to teach them how to navigate the world they're in. We can't change the situation with the world. We can only change how we impact it. We can only change how we navigate it. We can only change how we're looking at it. You got to navigate what's around you. And so in this equation with the foundations, there was a certain word that came up on Friday, surrender. You can just put it up there. I'm going to walk us through this. And it occurred to me that the guy that's on the beach, you know, he likes it there. She likes it there. But there's something that they're holding on to. Like, just make a fist as tight as you can. Everybody make a fist as tight as you can. Squeeze real hard, like your nails are kind of digging in. If you have coffin nails, well, you're going to cut yourself. Careful. But you feel that? Like, really strong, as powerful as you can. Like, really squeeze it. And I'll think about that being the picture of you holding on to the things that you don't trust God with. You can stop if you want. Let the blood flow. Let the blood flow. And think about, that's how tight some of us hold on to the very things that God is trying to get us to let go of. Because that's the thing that's preventing us from building over there with the smart people on the rock. And what God is trying to say is, like, if you will just let go of the insecurity, we can get over there to the rock. You don't have to build on the sand. If you'll let go of your sexual sin and the darkness and loneliness and isolation that that brings, we're going to take a step toward the rock. I got all the tools over there to build everything you need to build. It's right over there. It's right over there. If you will let go of your grief and your pain and let me come in and start healing your heart, we're going to build a solid house on a solid foundation. If you will let go of not trusting me with your insecurity and your abusers, we're going to take a step toward building on a rock solid foundation. If you will let go of always needing to be in control, we're going to build a house on a rock solid foundation. And when you get over here, he's going to gently take your hand and pull it down, and he's going to say, loosen the grip, and you're finally going to open. And then he can use you. Because you've surrendered the thing that you can't surrender to anyone else. Because there is no other foundation anyone can lay except for Jesus Christ. Surrender is the act of our heart. Because we can't effect change. We can only surrender our heart. We can only give him our heart. We can't change other people. If you realize that yet, we had to give that over to God. We can't change the fact that we lost what we lost. Maybe it was a person, someone in your family. We've walked with families that have lost children. And I can never begin to explain that from a God perspective. I can only tell you that I've learned to trust him and keep my eyes on him, because it's the only way you make it past those waves that beat you over and over and over. Surrender. You saw in the video, we had an activity where we wrote on pots, clay pots, and then we broke them. And what we wrote on them was things that we were struggling with. So things that we were hanging on to real tight, and they were encouraged. Some people wrote a lot. Some people wrote novels. Some people wrote one word. And then we got to break them with softballs, and that was a lot of fun. I like that they showed mine. It took me about 25 throws to hit that pot. But I like that they only got the one I broke. I was like, oh, I'm so good. No, no. But as I was looking at these, it was real stuff, you know, like fear and pride, family division, my marriage, his affair, my kids, my heart. There were so many things. Grief. Why did you take? My abuser, that was on one of them. Feeling alone, isolated, depressed, suicidal thoughts. Everything you can imagine was written on these. No one's name was on them, so everyone was anonymous. But the significance of breaking those open. And then our team decided we would mix it in with some, all the teams actually, they gathered dirt and rock from any place at Aliso where we were staying that God spoke to them. And then we mixed it all up with the shards of this pottery. And we said, you know, this is what we're going to take home, and we're going to build a foundation on this. Because our brokenness is a part of us. It's not separated from you once Jesus redeems it and you give it to him and you surrender it all. It's really a part of us. And we want everyone to know in this room and everyone that hasn't yet to come, any church that they're in today, that God is the God of brokenness. And it's about our surrender to him. Choosing a foundation, surrendering willingly, giving it all to him, being an all-in person. And then your brokenness becomes your story, and that's how God changes the world. So today, I want you to bow your heads. The band's going to start to come out and get ready. We're going to worship some more, but I want you to be ready. And I think I said this in the beginning, but I'm going to say it again. I believe that God himself has something to do in this room. I believe that there is someone in here who has been drowning. They have been treading water. They have been desperate for someone to rescue them. We see you. God sees you. This message is for you. I don't want you to wonder if God is trying to talk to you. He is. This message is for you. You're holding on. You can't let it go. And he has given you a way out. You do not have to live on the sand. He can be your rock. And that can be your story. It doesn't matter if you went to this retreat this weekend or not. If you walked in for the first time, you are supposed to be here today. We're going to ask God to keep moving. We want to invite everyone to come down and worship, not just our retreat attendees. We want everyone to come down if they want to. If you want to spread out, if you want to pray with a friend, you feel the freedom to do that and let God work in this place. Let's worship with our whole heart.